Last time we spoke about, last time we've come in a general sense, and then we went on Halacha Aleph. There's really another thing to talk about Halacha Aleph, which we're not going to talk about, just time-wise. I'll mention it in it for a second, which is the Shach about things that don't have a Talmud Shach or Lefgam. And the Shach talks about such things, a big to-do in the Akhrenu about it, and you would be surprised to find out that it has some practical applications. Your kids probably ate food based on that child today. Okay. Not you, your kids probably, but okay. But let's go on to Halacha Beis. Halacha Beis talks about some examples, some food, some things that are very theoretical, and we're going to talk about a very practical example of what he talks about. Because an infant formula that you may have heard of, it goes under two names from two different brands. One is called Nutramigen, one is called Alimentum. Infant formula. A formula for babies. It's Nutramigen or Alimentum. It's two different companies. It's the same. The Chachma is the same. And that is, there are children who can't digest just about anything. Most of them can't even nurse. They can't digest formula, and therefore they have no other way to live except that they have this formula which is pre-digested. Okay, the parts of the formula are pre-digested, and then these children could eat it and they could live. Okay, we're ignoring the fact that it might be a sakana. Okay, we're not paying attention to that. We'll come back a little bit to that later, but we're ignoring that fact. The shaila is two shailas. One is, can the children eat the formula? Is it okay for them to eat it? The ingredients are kosher, except for one, you'll hear in a second. And the other shaila is, the kelim that it's made on, these are made by the same companies that make all the other baby formulas. Does the company have to cash their kelim after they make this formula before they make the regular ones? Okay, what's wrong with this formula? The way they pre-digest the formula they take a piece of a chazer stomach, okay, and in it has an enzyme, and they throw it in, and they throw it into the protein. And
hazard
rules? Yeah. I guess. Okay. If they would use a behemoth share, it wouldn't make it much better. I mean, it would be in the baila. Yeah, okay. For whatever reason, they use a pig enzyme. I don't know why. And this enzyme that does whatever it does for the pig stomach does the same kind of trick for whatever they put into this formula. It helps digest the thing, and then it goes on. They mix it with other things, and they give it to the baby. So the shaila is, I mean, obviously, pigs are not kosher. So the shaila is, there's no hechsher on these formulas. But all the other ingredients besides the chazer are kosher. These are made in the same companies that make all the other kosher formulas. So the shaila is, can the baby take it? And what about all the kelim that it's run on, that today they're making this formula, and tomorrow they're making the regular formula that everybody else's children are eating? So those are the two parts of
the shaila. The shaila is on the regular formulas or on that formula?
On that formula, can the baby take that formula? And second is, what about, do they have the kasher if they make that one before they make the regular formula that the regular babies have? I mean, that's everybody's baby, not just the sick babies. Everybody. How does it work? I have to tell you a little bit how the process goes to making this formula. They take a vat of protein, that's great, milk, or whatever has the protein in it, and into it they put this piece of chaser. It's not bottled, and it sits there for a week. Okay? After the first day, I mean, after it's been covered together, everything is still tastes fine. But by the end of the 7 days, it tastes putrid. Okay? It's turned disgusting. As you can imagine, it's just been digested. Okay? Imagine taking something out of the pig's stomach. Right? So it tastes digested. Okay? So if by the time the week is over and it's ready, it's been taka digested, and it doesn't taste very good at all. Okay? And then they take this, they filter out most of the pig. The actual chaser itself, most of it gets taken out. Not all, but most of it actually gets filtered out, because that's not what the baby needs. And then they mix it with other ingredients, the other things that go into the formula, and on it goes to make baby formula. So, the clay itself, the original clay into which they digested, the where the coverage happened, that clay for sure needs to be kasher. Why? It's lost in the shvach, the surf of gum. After 24 hours, it was kosher. At that point, it was still a shvach. At that point, everything still tasted fine. So that clay for sure needs to be kosher. That's not a big deal. That's a simpler issue, just to deal with that one clay. Well, the question is, what about for the kelim that come afterwards? What about for the kelim that come afterwards? When it comes to these places, the chaser that was in there ended up making this thing taste awful. So what's the question? The harder, it should be an example of what the Shulchan Aruch brings a day here in this halacha, which is, you have a food, which is nois and pound of gam. As a rule, we say something that's nois and pound of gam is bottle. It's bottle barayim. It doesn't have to be bottle b'shisha. But it's an example of something that's hikdil midasar. Because you put in the thing that was nois and pound of gam, made it more valuable. it made that this formula is worth much more than it used to be beforehand. Why? It used to be that babies couldn't digest it, and now they can. I mean, all right, it even costs more, but that's not my point. It's not the money of it. It's that this baby wants to take it because they can't eat any other formula. So by putting in the nurse pound of gum, what did something that was hidden with us, it didn't actually make it a bigger volume. That's the case that the Shushanim were talking about.
So but it has... Because you want to go according to the rabbi?
Yeah.
But people in the rabbi was talking about the meat even so using the...
I'm not talking
even
about...
Even other sheep would say the same
quality, no. Quality-wise, it's better off because of this, but it is nurse pound of gum. It's not making it worse. It tastes awful. But it makes it a more valuable thing.
The end result
is overall you ended up with something better, but time-wise you ended up with something worse. So that L'Hairik should be an example. That's the Shailas. L'Hairik should be an example of what these
Mahmoud
shouldn't
be. Is
what?
The palm is nickel of gum.
It is, yes. Now, an interesting part, which has a lot to do with the Shailas, is a regular person who would try to eat this formula would not be able to eat it, supposedly. I never tried it, but it supposedly tastes so disgusting that regular people wouldn't eat it. Taki is nice time of kind of like really bad news. But the baby has underdeveloped taste buds, so the baby doesn't know the difference. So from the baby's perspective, it doesn't make a difference what he's eating. So him, it doesn't bother. Okay?
If you put the added stuff to it, see.
Yeah, the baby eats this formula.
You put the added stuff.
You put this
ice cream.
That's a good sign. I don't know. He's asking us, what happened at the very beginning stages, before they mix in the other things, with the baby?
With the spot then,
I have, my impression is that the babies wouldn't care no matter what. Is that they completely are not very risky things. They're not holding by those things. So, that they don't, then it makes no difference. Okay. Again? It's a shaila. That's questionable. I'm not the expert. Whether it was nifsal mechila completely or just like some of gam. That was up in the air between. I don't know who was the one who tasted it. Then it's more kal the shaila. Then it's more kal. Okay, we're going to work then with the assumption that it's not nifsal mechila completely. It's just nifsal of gam. It just makes it taste worse. And L'Hairik was an example of this shaila nushan. So. This shiloh came to the OU, as you can imagine, I used to work at the OU. It came to the OU because they give hashkocha. They don't give hashkocha on these formulas, but they give hashkocha on everything else made by these companies. So they got it. We get into shiloh at the seriously also, but they dealt with the shiloh. They knew much more about the Matthias. They were giving hashkocha on the company. Okay, and as I told you, they had to think about another shiloh, which is what about kashrut and the kalim? Okay, this once they mixed everything together, went through the rest of the equipment like everything else. So they had to think about kashrut and the kalim was a very real shiloh for them to test. So the OU has two people who passed in the shiloh. Both of them threw us in Motan. I'm going to tell you, but they had completely opposite reasons. Okay, they both had completely different reasons. Okay, and like first one is Rabbi Shapiro. He said like this. He said, when you want to decide if something is nice to of God, or if when you were hidden with us, it was more valuable now that you were hidden with us, he says, when you make that decision, he says, you have to look at an average, normal person. You go outside and stop 10 people on the street and say to them, is this nice time of God, or Shah? And is it more valuable now that you were hidden with us or not? He says, if you go to the regular person in the street, the nice time of God to them is horrible. They could taste it would be horrible to them. And fuck care. All the people in this room could digest food regular, so to us, the extra value that you could, it's pre-digested, has no meaning to me. What I need a pig to digest my food? I can digest my own food. I don't know.
Unless it's worth more money, can be sold to people who can't eat.
So, but for
us also,
don't look at a minority.
What? He says you're judging it by a bunch of Bali mum. He says taking a bunch of people who can't taste anything and have something wrong with this family.
What's wrong with the Bali mum that is worth something?
What did he say? But for the regular person, he says you make these kind of shikulim by regular people. Okay, so Berdowski didn't. You'll hear just this is one side. Okay, so he said some amela. He says so. What do you care about this kid? There's one kid, but the hamoinam for them, it had, the pagam is horrible. The value is zero. He says so. It's not all the case. What it means is because it's worth more to the market because the people who are going to buy it are also going to have to buy from it. Why you're saying it's less if it was only a small group of people to whom it was worth more.
They're servicing a minority, but they don't need it.
It's worth more.
Okay, so you're arguing, you're both arguing. You're saying even to the average person, it's worth more, because I know that there are some people who are not going to need it.
That's why he did it, right?
I understand. So you say there are some. So even to everybody here in this room, it's because I have it, because I can sell it for more money. Okay, I can hear both sides of that. Okay, I can hear both sides. Okay, now.
Isn't it only made for those people?
Right?
Yes, I'm getting to that. Okay, this is for. Now, I'm gonna digress for a second. Two things. First of all, I mentioned beforehand that Lachaira, for most of these kids who take it, it's a Sakana, and of course they should be able to take it. Rabbi Shabbat had a whole different mahalach about why they should take it, even if they're not really a Sakana. I mean, some people who take this, the doctor's not sure that the baby needs it. It's more like, let's give it a try. The Gemara says in Yuma that the reason why children are allowed to eat on Yom Kippur is not because of Sakana. You don't have to wait until the kid's in the Sakana to feed him, but because Haim and Rabbi say you're allowed to give a child what he needs for his regular development. They're not holding by mitzvahs at that point. And therefore he says, so this is Haim and Rabbi say, for this kid, this is what he needs to eat. If not, it doesn't have to be Sakana in order to give it to him. That was a different part to give. That has nothing to do with the Shiloh here. That's just a general Shiloh. Okay? Then, another side point, which was, should we say Achshavei, by the fact that the child eats it, should we say that if you have something that's not royal achila, and then I go ahead and eat it, so the din is that midrabanan we say achshavei by the fact that I ate it, I show that to me it is royal achila. Now of course midrabanan I don't say that, but midrabanan we say such a thing. So you should say that the fact that the child is eating it should be considered achshavei.
The child's eating makes an achshavei a lot of people.
Okay, he said a variation of that. He said. That's true, but I'm just the clear of it. You're right, he doesn't have to be worried about it. He's a chayla, he doesn't have to worry about it. You're 100%. Okay, so he said it using the chavistas that we said last time, which is, chavistas says, if you say, take something that's not royal achila, and you put onto it sugar, and you make it, then you can get it down. It's not usher to eat it. He says, what would you say if a person ate something like that? Would you say achshavei? Would you say that the fact that the person ate it is achshavei? He says, of course not. Achshavei says, if you ate it, even though most people consider it not edible, obviously to you, the fact that it's spoiled makes no difference, and for you, it's considered edible even though it was spoiled. But if you cover it with sugar, there's no riot. The fact that I ate it is because I like the sugar. The fact that I'm eating it is not a riot that I don't consider it spoiled. No, it's nothing to do with it. I just covered it over in such a way that I got it down. So over here also, the fact that the baby who can't taste eats it, it's not achshavei. Achshavei would only be if somebody who doesn't like food that tastes bad will go ahead and eat it anyhow. So he's showing for regular people it's considered not edible. For me, I like it. I enjoy this taste. But for this baby, it doesn't taste anything. The baby doesn't have a sense of taste. So you can't say the fact that he ate it proves that for him, he considers it royal achila. To him, it doesn't mean anything. Like he put sugar on it.
Came out of Auschwitz.
Yes. Okay. That's a strong example. Okay. Now, the truth, so I told you that so far, the first one reason. Ravelsky looked at the whole thing completely different. He says, you're considering this thing, you're saying it's not hidden with also because average people don't gain from this. He says, it's one thing if you have a food and there's just a minority of people for whom it's extra valuable, they have some special reason why they want it, so you can talk like that. He says, but over here, this is not a food that, by coincidence, is good for these babies. The food is made specifically for them. The group who eats it, it's not that there's a food that's really spoiled. And there happens to be some Meshuggah who happens to want to eat it. They make it tapka for this kid. So the group that you look at, you look at the average person, but you look at the average of who it's made for. So the people who it's made for them, the Higdom with us is better than the Ratzalam of God. So he says, so Lorela, he didn't get that far, that's far. Alpha peaking. He said, you should eat it anyhow. It's okay anyhow. Why? Because it's a machlokes we shine them that what happens to Higdom with us. Right? I mean, it's 2 days where the Higdom with us. So Samazoi, we would be machmeh, and we would say that if Higdom with us, you should be machmeh, it's not Samazoi, not Samazoi. He says, hey, if we're sitting with a choler, that's the reason, that's a case to be Samazoi on those returning more makel, who said that Higdom with us makes no difference, and overall, it's Samazoi, and therefore it's Mutter. But we live just with one question on what he said is that a little bit he's not being so fair over here, because he's saying, since it was made for these babies, therefore in deciding if it's Higdom Midasai, they're the ones who decide it. We don't look by the Hamoinam, we look by these babies. Okay. Why don't we say that about the next town of Kam also? You decide that this is next town of Kam. No, it's not true. The people who it's intended for them it's not next town of Kam. It doesn't ruin the taste at all. Remember, the baby doesn't care what it tastes like. So for the baby, it wasn't next town of Kam either. So if you're going to say we only look at the people who it's meant for, it's takana hikdim idase. But so it's not next town of Kam. If it's not next town of Kam, so what is it? So it's chazu mixed into food and has to be about the position. It's not with it. So why are you splitting it and saying, Lagabi the Hibdim Udasai, that I'm willing to look at the group I'm giving it to. But Lagabi whether it's town of Kam, I don't care about that. You should have to say it's only for this group. And for this group, it's not Nurse Town of Kam and it's not Hibdim Udasai. So it goes back to the main rules of Bit Mashish.
If the issue is Tom, and the children don't have Tom, why are they answering it all together?
Yeah, because that's the rule, that Isser is not Boto until it's not Nursim Tom. That's the thing. That's the thing. Zerayis is not Boto. But there's a heter of Nursim Tom of Kam.
I'm asking if you're going to take off the child that has no eyes, but
yes.
So then nothing should be Isser for them.
What happens if you take Chazer, just plain old Chazer, and mix it and make soup for him? Would you give it to the baby?
If you're looking at the child as the testimony for him, because he is the Dugma of Hutz.
No, because Isser needs to be bottle. It has to be not Nois and Tam. Until it's not Nois and Tam, it's Isser. But I can't say it's not Nois. Yeah, so it's Isser. So if it's Nois and Tam of Kam, then it's Mutter. So you say, L'inyi Nois and Tam of Kam, we look at the Hamoinam. And for most people, it's Hamoinam and Tam of Kam. But L'inyi, whether it's Hidden or not, then we're all looking at you. So why are we splitting it like that? Okay, so why don't we say, if we only look at you, if you're the audience, then we should look for both in them. If we look at everybody, then it should be mutter. Okay, that's okay.
Nice to tell them, is telling you where they care.
Okay. So you're saying, nice time of Tom, if why would it be mutter? It's because it's... It's related to being not in the royal care. So therefore, royal care is a general thing. And on that, you're saying that even though it's meant for a very specific group of people, and for those geirim, it's really royal achila. For those group of people, it still is royal achila. No, there is a group that is
same for care.
In theoretical, just okay. I'm not sure if I could be mahag there. Okay. Let's move on to Halacha Gimel. Okay, we'll move something that's related, not exactly, but related sort of to Halacha Gimel. Okay. Yeah, okay, the fact. Rogowski's easy sort to say that it's some of those. I'm asking you the question on it.
They don't have them.
What? They. I believe they do not have them. If it be Mikol Shem Rishonim, then you should cash the kid.
Right.
If the reason is because it's not Nesam Kam, then you wouldn't cash. I don't remember. So I don't remember what they do about the kid. My impression is that they don't cash the kid. I don't remember anything. So you're talking that would be enough community between them, whether you should cash the kid. But there should be enough community.
So you're thinking all formalism?
No, these two rest the line. No, so it's again to these two. The shadow of Kashmir is again to all formulas.
All its size, soy, size,
well,
milk.
No. It's
okay. Isomil.
It's again to the milk ones, the power ones. They have the Kashmir before the power ones make the power. This is milk.
Oh, so the power now.
Okay, but it's not. The two very large companies that make all the baby formulas, and each one of them makes a variation. Each one of them. That's what the two brands. We'll talk about it on different times. We'll talk about it another time. Okay.
This should be negated at Shachar with the child. Even if you want to look at the child, it's not less than time of Gan. It's not less than time of Shachar either. The kid can't taste. So you're saying, look at the child for the next time of Gan. He can't taste.
So therefore, so for him, he's an example of that.
That Shach maybe.
Right. So Rabbi Shapta is saying, don't look at the. It's not that at all. Ignore the baby completely. Ignore the baby. He's nobody. He doesn't count. He doesn't count for
Chazer. So even if you want to look at the baby, it would be neutral.
That would be a little bit better. If we want to look at the baby, right. It's not. It's completely doesn't count. It's totally not child's. Okay. In this siman, all the examples of next time with God that you keep hearing the examples are of things, one food that makes another food taste bad. Okay, that's what you keep hearing the examples of. The Daki Tshuva, at the beginning of the Siman, two places, he brings a deed from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, that not only is it that true if it makes it taste bad, but it's also true if it makes it smell bad. And it's a deacon appears from Shai's, that even if it makes it smell bad, that's also considered nice kamukha. Other parts can say, what happens if it doesn't taste bad or smell bad, but by putting this thing in, it made it poisonous? Right? So then, to that they think is even more posher that that's mutter, because when we say it's ain't a royal gear, so something that's poisonous is even that much more not edible anymore, because not only you can't eat it because it doesn't taste good, but you can't eat it because it's dangerous, therefore it's for sure not royal gear. But there's a clear, there's an interesting clear here. What about if it's, we're talking about a shiloh for something chametz for Pesach, where there, in certain cases, the rule is not that it has to be not royal gear, it has to not be royal achilas kelev. Okay, the kelev has no intelligence. Okay, so the kelev doesn't know what's poisonous. So a gear won't eat something that's poisonous, but the kelev would eat something that's poisonous. He only cares what it tastes like. So if it tastes good, is that what it depends on? If you put it down, if it tasted good and it smelled good, like the kelev would eat it.
Was gonna die?
No, you wouldn't give it to the kelev. So you're saying it depends on the person. You're saying it's not only the kelev, it's a person.
But that's not the possible.
Why wouldn't the kelev taste good? He's saying it doesn't taste
good. Would you give it to the owner of the dog?
I always assume the other way. It depends on what the dog would eat himself. But maybe that's the right way.
It's dog food. If you don't give it to the dog, it's not dog food.
The dog will eat it.
Okay. So now, in this din, in Halacha Gimel, we're hearing, I think it's the first time that he talks about when the interaction of the two foods is not in itself nice and amufkam, but there was something else added in that has some, is what makes it nice and amufkam. Okay, he says this, if there's a so it's not the Isser and the Hefter that the combination is Nersam of Kam, but there's something else somehow mixed into there that makes Nersam of Kam. That's also because it's Nersam of Kam. The overall, the result is that it's Nersam of Kam, that's more. Or it could be both. Okay? So all of that comes together. There's a bunch of things that I just mentioned to you for a Shiloh. We'll start off with this way, which has a lot to do with toiletries. A Shiloh of denatured apple. Okay, what denatured alcohol? Okay, what is denatured alcohol? What it is like this. The government, the American government, probably all governments, has a huge tax on beverage alcohol. Alcohol that you're going to drink is a huge tax. The tax is somewhere like a 100% tax. Okay? A huge tax on it. So, what happens if you have alcohol that you want to use, not for drinking, but for something else? That you want to make shampoo out of it. You want to put alcohol into your shampoo. So how do you prove to the government that you're not going to use this alcohol for drinking? If they give it to you, they don't want to charge you the tax, but how do they know you're not going to go ahead and go out the other end of your factory and sell it for drinking? So what they do is, they do something called to denature it. To denature it means they either make it taste terrible or poisonous. In the mail, they know you're not going to drink it. No one's going to drink it anymore. And then you can use it for shampoo because there's nothing wrong. They don't have to charge you a tax because they know that's how you're not going to use it for drinking. Okay, that's the hamtzah there. And when if you look on a shampoo bottle, you'll see sometimes you'll see listed. It'll say sometimes it does say alcohol, doesn't have, but it'll say the letters SD or SDA and a number. And it'll say SDA 35, and that stands for specially denatured alcohol, formula number 35. Okay, so the government has 50 formulas for how to denature alcohol. Each one for a very specific purpose. And if you want to make shampoo and you want to denature the alcohol, you have to do this and this and this. And if you do that, so in the list of ingredients, it will say alcohol or SDA alcohol or SD alcohol or something to that effect, 36, whatever the number is, and that's the formula that they use to make this alcohol. Okay. So, let's think of an example. I keep saying to you about alcohol. Alcohol, not all alcohol is kosher. But it's possible to make alcohol out of stam yayin, or out of challah b'drabanan, or out of stam yayin. I'm sorry, out of gvinis agum. We're not talking about Pesach. Maybe at the end we'll talk Pesach for a second. But it could be stam yayin, and it could be challah b'drabanan. From maimi challah, you can make it, or you can make it from gvinis agum. So it's potentially possible. Okay. So again, to other shaylos, you should just all those things that I just mentioned here are all issuin drabanan. Okay. It has not gvinis. But the shaylos for year round are always shun drabanan. Okay, so it could be So, if you want to put alcohol into mouthwash, almost every mouthwash has alcohol. If you want to put alcohol into mouthwash, the government has a formula. And one of the formulas is a couple that you could use. One of them is 38C. Okay? That's the formula. And think about it. You have to realize, if you're making alcohol for mouthwash, you can't make it poisonous, because people are going to put it into their mouth. So, if this is not shampoo, you have to be a little, the formula has to be a little more careful. So what's the formula for 38C? For every 100 gallons of alcohol, you have to put in 10 pounds of menthol and 1 1/4 gallons of formaldehyde. Okay? Now, what's formaldehyde? You don't have to know what formaldehyde is, but formaldehyde is described as having a pungent, irritating odor. Okay? So, I told you beforehand that if it has a bad odor, that's already enough to make it considered nirstamlifgam. So we took the alcohol, let's say the alcohol was isser. Okay, we took into it, we added something else into it, and then together, when we then mix it into the mouthwash, we now have something that is, overall, it's nice time with gum. That's why the government did it. Remember, they're making sure to put, I don't know if 1 1/4 gallons is enough to make a nice time with gum. But the government does. That's why they made the formula. They wanted to make sure nobody would drink it. That was the whole kavana, was to make sure nobody drinks it. So they put it into your mouthwash. There's more other things than alcohol. The alcohol is supposed to be right because of nice time with gum. How do I know it's nice time with gum? You should say it. I know it's nice time with gum because the government had made this formula up, dafka for mouthwash, to make sure that it's nice time with gum. So that would seemingly be, we should be able to say that that's an example of nice time with gum. And even if it would be isser, I shouldn't care. It shouldn't make a difference to me that the alcohol might have been isser because it's nice time with gum. Okay, so there's four things we have to clear about this, what I just said to you. The first is, many decades ago, this shiloh of denatured alcohol was spoken about by the Koyskin. And some are medical, but some were machmer at that time. Okay, it was spoken about a long time. And there are those, you'll hear people will say that since there were those machmer on that, so they want to be machmer on this shiloh of denatured alcohol. What was the reason why there were achronim who medical? The reason is for two reasons. One is, it's possible to get the denaturement out of the alcohol. Why should it be awesome? Did I say make? I'm sorry. Why should it be awesome? One is, this is from before that. I'm not going to say anything because I forget to do this. I'm not going to say anything. I have something in my head. I'm not saying. One is, because you could possibly remove the denaturant. And the second is, because there are people who are desperate to have alcohol, will drink this stuff anyhow, hagam, that it tastes bad or whatever, and therefore, it should be considered nakas. Okay. So let's just think about those two reasons for a second. The first one was, you can get it out. So, I just wonder whether the person who said it in their time, again, it was many decades ago, would say it today. And what I mean to say is, when you look at the government's formulas, and you look at how much effort they put into it, and how sophisticated they are, and how exact they are, you get the feeling, and the government, one more thing, the government has this huge incentive to make sure you don't cheat. You get the feeling that it's probably not so easy to get the stuff out. If every chayanko could get the stuff out, then it wouldn't have done the trick. Remember, the person who buys it has 100% incentive to get the stuff out. If it was so easy to get the stuff out, I would buy it and say I'm putting it into shampoo. I would do my this and that and the other thing to get it out, and I'd go sell it out the back door to someone who make schnapps out of it. So, obviously, the government, Lahaira, is doing something to make sure that it's not so easy. Okay, I can't vouch for it, but I'm saying that they have a big incentive to do it, and this, if you read turn the pages of this thing, you see there's lots of chachma to how they did this, you get the feeling that nowadays it's not so true that you can just get it out. I'm sure that there's a way to get it out. I'm sure that there is a way to get it out, but we don't think about those things. I mean, for the normal, regular person, with the, regular methods, my guess is that it's not an easy thing to do, and you have to be really sophisticated to be able to get it out, and l'chaira, those things should make a difference. What about the other kind? The other kind was that a person who's desperate, a shikr, will drink it anyhow. In fact, it just happened. It just happened recently. It happens every so often, which is Purell. Okay, Purell is, the hand-washing soap. Okay, Purell, I'll tell you, Purell is different than regular soap. That Purell, what sanitizes your hand is alcohol. But the alcohol evaporates. So regular soap, if you put it on your hand, you have to wash it off. And Purell, which is made with the alcohol, you rub it on your hands, and it evaporates. So it's this great thing. It sanitizes your hands, and you don't have to wash your hands afterwards. They're clean as is. You don't have to wash them. Okay. So the Purell is made of more than 60% alcohol. And that's what it is. It's alcohol that's cleaning your hands. So came along some teenagers and said, hey, 60% alcohol, you know, this is a cheap drink. You know what I mean? For a buck, I can get 60% alcohol. So they went ahead and they took the pill. And one, to the wonders of the modern world, they went on the internet to find out that there's a way to get what denatures the Corel is isopropyl alcohol. There's a way to get almost all the isopropyl out. There's a pretty easy way to get it. Right? And you can get most of the isopropyl out, so they get most of it out. And wonderful, for a buck, I can have a drink. It's pretty easy to get it in.
It's high alcohol.
Yeah, it's 60% alcohol. Yeah. Well, the problem is, the reason why we heard about it is not because the mashgiach caught them in the dorm drinking it. That's not why we heard about it. We heard about it because they were all in the hospital. Because they got sick from eating it, because it still has isopropyl alcohol, but they didn't get it all out. It's not healthy at all. So, I got that there are people who drink it, and I got that there are people... Well, however, they're still not, it's not a good drink to drink anyhow. The question is, do we have to think about, should we say buckle dietum by the fact that there are a couple of kids, you know, they say in the news, it's only news, you know, when man bites dog, and only when something unusual happens is it news, you know? So the fact that some Meshuggah kid drank Pirel is because it's Hakam Meshuggah who did it, that's why it's in the news. So you have to wonder whether that's an example of buckle dietum that we should say is, that we should care about that. Because if there is all Meshuggah who does it, is that enough to make it awesome? Okay. What'd you say? Well, for him, we're not worried about him. We're worried about all the rest of us. Do we have to clarify it? Okay, now, Pirel, you're not eating anyhow, but let's say it's mouthwash. So are there people who drink it? Maybe there are people who drink it because they want the alcohol that's in it. It has 20% alcohol. Do they want to drink it? But maybe they're Meshuggah. We don't have to think about those people. Let's keep it simple. Okay, that's one. Next. That was, I told you, a side why you should maybe be maker. Now I'm going to tell you a side why you should maybe be machmir. I told you the government puts a lot of chachma into making these formulas. Okay? So there's one, I'm going to give you an example of one formula. It's SD29. Okay? And SD29 is what you use when you want to denature alcohol for use in vinegar. Okay, most vinegar that you have, the white vinegar, the clear vinegar, what they call white distilled vinegar, is made from alcohol. It's made from 95% pure alcohol. They water it down, and then they convert the alcohol into vinegar. So that alcohol is not for drinking. You shouldn't have to pay tax on that. So how are they going to sell a company 95% pure alcohol and make sure no one drinks it? So it has to be denatured. But I told you we have a problem. If you denature it, people are going to take that vinegar and put it on the salad. So what's going to be? So how could we denature the alcohol yet make it still good for vinegar? They came up with an amazing idea. Okay? When alcohol changes into vinegar, between it being alcohol and being vinegar, acetic acid, between ethyl alcohol and acetic acid, in between, there's an in-between stage where it's something called ethyl acetate. Okay? You don't need to know what that is, except to know that it's poisonous. Okay? It's poisonous. So the rule is, you have to put a gallon of ethyl acetate into every 100 gallons of alcohol that's going to be sold to vinegar. Which means is, nobody's going to drink the stuff, because if you drink it, you're out cold. I mean, you're finished. You can't drink the stuff. It's not possible to drink it. It's poisonous. It's, of course, next time with God. But when you put it and make it into vinegar, lo and behold, there's not a bit left. It all turns into vinegar. It's part of becoming vinegar is that you become ethyl acetate in the middle. So they said, think of that. They put in, the way to denature it is not to put in, what was the other thing, formaldehyde. Formaldehyde, you kill everybody. But instead of we put in ethyl acetate is a great denaturant for this use because it'll turn into vinegar. And when it turns into vinegar, everybody, there's no problem. There won't be poisonous anymore. Okay? So that, think of it. I'm trying to give you, that's an example of the chacham that went into that.
But the vinegar is not intoxicating now?
No. Vinegar, well, the alcohol has turned into acetic acid. There's not a bit of alcohol left in it. No, there's nothing at all. So I'm saying that to you is because if you think about that, then you say, wait a second. If that's what they did, so do you think that alcohol is mutter l'achila? Do you think that alcohol was mutter? That denatured alcohol should be mutter? That is chilas l'fkam v'sefer l'shvach. By the end of the day, that alcohol is perfectly edible. So, I mean, I don't know if you should eat it when it's poisonous. Don't worry about that. But when it turns into vinegar, it didn't become mutter. The fact that it was once l'fkam, so that makes us be a little more cautious about the denatured alcohol because maybe we have to think that when the government, when they denatured it, they did it in a way that by the time I'm finished, it's okay. Think about it. When you make, one of the things I told you how you denature for mouthwash is you put in menthol. Okay? Menthol is a minty taste. Okay? So menthol is not what you usually think of when you put into an alcoholic beverage that you're going to drink. But menthol is fine in mouthwash. It's appropriate. It fits into mouthwash. So you have to think then, if you want to say, well, yeah, if they denature it, it's for sure mutter, because it either tastes bad, or it smells bad, or it's poisonous. But maybe not. Maybe the denaturing that they put in is a kind that, in the end product, is perfect. It doesn't make a difference, like by the case of the vinegar. Okay, so you have to be a little, put a little more thought into it, rather than to say, oh, if it's denatured, it must be mutter. Because it doesn't always work that, especially for something that's going to be eaten. I'm not talking about, if you want it, talking about your deodorant. Okay, that comes up, Pesach Shiloh. The deodorant has denatured alcohol. Because there, so to speak, it's easy to denature it. Because no one's going to eat this stuff. They don't have to worry about it being poisonous. But things that are closer to your mouth, where they're being more cautious to make sure that it's not poisonous, they have to be played more carefully, then you have to be worried, maybe, that they did it in a way that doesn't make a difference. It only makes a difference in the alcohol stage, not in the later stage. Okay? That's the second thing. So what's going to end up happening is, we're not going to move away from denaturing for a second, is it's going to come down to a very fundamental shiloh, which sort of has to do with the background of the simon. The simon is about Nestam of Gan, when one food makes another food taste bad, but the yisoid, of course, the Nestam of Gan is something that's not Roy Lechila at all. And there's a serious debate in contemporary Peskin, a little bit in earlier Peskin, but in contemporary Peskin, how do you define something as being not Roy Lechila? There's two radically different ways to define what it means that something's not Roy Lechila. It sort of has to be Nestam of Gan, but more in what not Roy Lechila is. Some say a food that's only considered edible is, if I would put out cups of it over here, would you take a drink of it? If I put out Pepsi and Sprite, then people would drink from it. If I put out mouthwash, there wouldn't be a person here would drink it. Okay? It might be fine for rinsing out your mouth, but some people say in order to be considered Royal Achil, it has to be Royal Achil, that people would drink it. If the only time people drink it is because they're forced to or some special reason, that's not Royal Achil. For Haraya, in Ochus Pesach, it says, it describes what's considered Royal Achil, and it says that a food that the only people who eat it are cholim, a food that a regular person doesn't eat, only a cholim would eat it, is considered not royal achila. So that means that a cholim eats it, but a regular person wouldn't eat it. I mean, if you put them out a choice of drinks, they wouldn't pick that one. The fact that that's considered not royal achila. So they say, so that tells you that the royal achila means is mamish, that people would just eat it if they had a choice to. Would they consider it a food? The other people, others, look at it, and they say, no, that's not the thing. They say to be not royal achila means it has to be so bad that your mom, she could barely get it down. It's disgusting to put it in your mouth. And they bring a riot. And Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about, he says, when you want to decide something is not royal achila, he says, be cautious how you make that decision. And he brings a riot from the Gemara in Pachiris. The Gemara has a clear whether Meirag Lion Shal Chamor are considered royal achila or not royal achila. Okay, now, I never tried them. I never tried eating Meirag Lion Shal Chamor. And, of course, to do this, you have to try it not knowing that's what it is. Because if you know what it is, of course you're going to think it's not Royal Achila. But you have to not know what it is and try it. So he says that now anybody who's thinking, reading the Gemara is like scratching their head, right? Everybody just imagines that Meirag Lion Shal Chamor is not Royal Achila. We can only imagine what it must taste like. He says, but yet the Gemara's not so sure. See, he says it in the sense of, you have to be cautious in making that decision. Sometimes what you think is not Royal Achila, it's not so clear. Sometimes you don't know until you put it into your mouth whether it's Royal Achila or not. Okay, that's it. But others take from that Gemara a different thing, which is to be not Royal, what if the Gemara is clear? Because to be not Royal Achila, it has to be really awful. It has to be that when you put it into your mouth, you actually have to choke it down to get it down. The nafkamina between these two ways of looking at it is all these kind of things that people put into their mouth, or that maybe even that they eat, but they don't really want to eat it. I mentioned to you mouthwash. What about toothpaste? What about our children's medicine? Okay, are those things, if you eat it, because you have to eat it, you brush your teeth because it's good for you to brush your teeth. And there are pocket kids who eat toothpaste. But don't people, if you put out a plate and you put out French fries, potato chips, and toothpaste, okay, how many people would put their spoon into the toothpaste bowl and eat it up? It doesn't work like that. It's not a food. But you could get it down, they mix enough stuff into it, you could get it down. So is that Royal Achila? It's not Royal Achila. Okay, the other shilas are the alcohol, there's other shilas, things that might be tricked. So there's two just radically different ways of looking at it, what's considered Royal Achila and what's not. So it's not so much to do with denaturing, except the denaturing comes with these kind of toiletry kind of shilas. And this is the shilas, this is really the bottom of that shilas, is adding to something is or is not Royal Achila. Okay, and I'm going to, just one last part, which is the Inyan Pesach of these dinim have a little bit of a twist in it, and that is because, at least for the mouthwash toothpaste, the shaila that we have is only a shaila of a drabana. Because to put something into your mouth and spit it out is only, at most, an issa drabana. Okay, the issa derisa is only if you swallow a food. So if you put toothpaste in your mouth and you spit it out, it's not more than, it can't be more than issa drabana. So one thing is just spam. The fact that it's a shaila drabana is already a reason to be made. Second is, the reason why it's asim garbanon to put tray food in your mouth is because you might swallow it. You might taka eat it. So there are those who say that issue only applies to things that you taka might eat. A thing like this that no person in the right mind would ever eat is not even asim garbanon. Even if it is royal achila, but nobody would eat it by choice, that's not even issim garbanon. Okay? I'm contrasting that to shaila of Pesach, where of course there's general chumras of Pesach, and Pesach has an extra angle of it, that there's an issa by yirua, there's an issa to own issa also, there's not just an issa to eat. So the issuri achila have coolest to them that issa of owning it may not have.